Disposable Heroes is brought to you by Beard Booze. From the very beginning, they decided that all their products were made from 100% natural and organic ingredients. You know, some companies use like oils and like additives and whatnot, but they chose they're not going to go that route. It's going to be individualized hand-drawn labels on all their products, all original, and exactly what they believe their customers will enjoy. So after countless hours of research, development, and tireless testing, Beard Booze was born. To this day, they continue to put their hearts and souls into their products and building relationships with their customers. So go check them out. Yasad has his own personalized Beard Booze line, and they have 100% all-natural ingredients, beeswax, coconut oil, shea butter, sweet almond oil. It's good for your skin. It's good for your beard, and it smells amazing. So check them out. Beardbooze.com. That's beardbooze with a Z.com.
Disposable Heroes, Episode 5, with very special guest Frank Zumo from Street Drum Corps and Sum 41. Here's what's going to go down. He packs up a U-Haul at a very early age and drives west across the country to Los Angeles to seek his destiny. We have the realization that he's done every Warped Tour in his career with his boys Pepper. He continues to show us that the best things in life are born from organic circumstances. And we find out all about how he's inspired one of the most famous street artists in the world, Shepard Fairey. Enjoy and alright. Aloha, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Disposable Heroes. I'm your host, your boy Yasad, and I have here a very special guest, good friend of mine, Frank Zumo from Sum 41 currently. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. I love that you started with the aloha. It just literally took me back to my honeymoon being in Hawaii, so thank you for that.
I love
the vibe, you know?
Absolutely. It's always my pleasure. I love that you just hit something that I love, being from Hawaii and being in a band and traveling so much, where so many, even our manager, he was married in Hawaii, so that's so awesome. What island did you have your honeymoon on?
Kauai. Nice. Which totally fell in love, and you know, that's the dream, is to have a little place there down the road, just to go. And it's just such a magical place. And then, you know, Adam, my partner in Street Drum Corps, he just had his honeymoon on the North Shore of Oahu. And he just had like the most amazing time. Like, it's just, it's so epic there. Like, and it's just, you know, it's not that far from us in LA.
Yeah.
Just to go to paradise, basically. So definitely a special, you know, you being from there. And then I'm good friends with Gabby Reese and Laird Hamilton, and they live half the year over there as well.
Yeah.
So any email I get from her, text, is aloha everything. And it's just like, it puts me in a good mood, man. It's just such a good thing.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, the aloha spirit, I mean, there's really something to be said about it. And it exists everywhere. It's not just in Hawaii, you know? So
yeah,
that's great, because you're basically saying you want to end up in Kauai and have the ultimate agenda of no agenda.
Yeah, that's the you know, next, you know, I don't want to say retirement, because I don't think that and me will ever do that.
Right.
But just like a place to just go with the fam and just shut off, which is like, that's the perfect place to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about, so that's the end goal. Let's talk a little bit about what's gotten you to this point now and what's going to get you to Kauai, essentially. But so originally you talked about Adam mm-hmm. Alt, who is a brother of probably the person that brought you into my world, Bobby Alt, and Street Drum Corps, because just a little quick history on my end. We did Pepper Warped Tour with Street Drum Corps, and they ended up playing on one of our albums, Pink Crustaceans. And then that later led to, what was your first connection with the Alt Brothers?
I met them the night I moved to LA 13 years ago. I literally drove you know, the U-Haul from New York to LA and went to a party. Like, literally, I had a gig like the next day and I drove to a party and met those guys like on my first night in town. And the next day they showed up at my gig because they were really good friends with one of the musicians I was playing with. And I just literally kept bumping into these guys and we just really bonded. Just that whole, they're from New Jersey originally, like that's that East Coast thing. We just gravitated towards each other and just had the same circle of friends. And I just saw those guys every party or show or just around town.
Right.
And, you know, fast forward to a couple months later, they invited me to the Remo Center in North Hollywood to see this little drum performance they were doing. And they're like, we have this, you know, Bobby and Adam Waltz experiment where we just play, you know, drums. I'm like, cool. So I go and watch what they're doing. And one of the bits in their act, they're doing found percussion on buckets and pots and pans. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit, I've been doing this on the East Coast, you know, playing in found object percussion shows. What a coincidence, man. Like, yeah, just everything was kind of, the stars were aligning. And
the universe.
Totally. And that night we went and saw Stomp because one of my best friends from the East Coast was touring with that show. And literally after the show, we went to a bar in what's that college town up north? It's
Chico?
By that Madonna Inn hotel.
Chico. I think it might be Chico.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, one of, just something right over there. And literally, we go to this college bar, and there's just a DJ only, and my buddy's like, we're going to jam. And I'm like, okay, dude, like, what do you mean we're going to jam? There's not one drum or a band. He goes, watch this. All the people from the back come out with everything found they could find, ice buckets and, you know, just everything they have. The DJ stops the music, and we just go into a free-form jam. All the dudes in Stomp, me, Bobby, and Adam. And it was one of the most magical things ever. We literally had the entire club dancing around us as if we were like this big band or big DJ. Like, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the whole drive home, we were like, we have to do something. There's something here. Like, there's just all these reasons why we keep connecting. And obviously we just played last night together off the cuff and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So we said, let's go to a junkyard in downtown LA. Let's film it. Let's just go wild. Let's not plan anything. And let's just send it around. And, you know, Bobby comes from the Warped Tour world, which is how he knows you and all that.
Yeah,
and
Stun, actually. I just totally remembered his original band that we met him with, which, God, I missed that band. They're so good.
Great band.
Great band.
So he sends the video out to his Warped Tour world. I send it out to my theme park world. And we're thinking, like, really nothing's going to happen. But, like, you know, let's just send it out. And literally, we get hired for an entire summer and fall season at Six Flags Magic Mountain, Valencia.
Right.
And then Kevin Lyman hires us to go on the Warped Tour. So it's just, it's, and it's been 13 years, you know, and that's kind of the longest story of kind of how, you know, my journey in LA and True Drum Corps, and fast forward to 13 years later. Now, you know, we have multiple troops out, kind of like a Stomper Blue Man group that are touring
right
all over America, doing everything from state fair residencies to big Halloween shows. We played the Dodger game the other night.
Nice.
You know, just, people love drums, and you know, we've kind of made it where it could fit into anything. If you want it for your bar mitzvah or you want it for, you know, a rock and roll tour, we've kind of been able to, you know, fit it into all those different things, which is a great thing, you know, that, you know, most things can only kind of do one market and one thing. So it's really cool that, you know, drums are just a universal kind of language. And it's been such a journey, you know, and like this year is one of our biggest years, you know, ever. We've just been so busy with all the big theme parks and fairs and all that kind of stuff. And we actually just announced last week, we just partnered with Live Nation and all these amazing people. Nice. And we're doing actually our own event at the PNC in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like basically like Warped Tour style, we're going in the parking lot and we're building our own Halloween event, because the biggest part of Street Drum Corps has been our Blood Drum Show, which is our big Halloween show.
Right.
And it's been the biggest thing we've and most successful thing we've ever done. And we just finally said, you know what? Instead of being part of everyone else's Halloween events, we want to do our own. So we've been working on this for about 3 years, and we finally like figured it all out. And we're gonna just have haunted houses, the Blood Drum Show, a whole midway with your vending and all that. And You know, hopefully this can turn into something that, you know, goes all over. But it's really exciting, and it's, you know, probably one of the biggest big picture things, you know, that's really come to, you know, life here for us. And we're just so excited, on that, and just to see where that kind of goes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks,
and that,
man.
Is that going to be branded as the Blood Drums as well?
It's the whole event itself is called Scared in Jersey.
Okay.
And we're playing off of the urban myth of the Jersey Devil.
Yes, and the Jersey Devil.
Yep, that's what this whole event is about. The two haunted houses are based on that. And then Blood Drums is like the live, you know, concert type of performance that's going to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the event's called Scared in Jersey, and Blood Drums is one of the events. And me, Bobby, and Adam are, you know, our company is you know, creators of this with, you know, a bunch of amazing people that we've put together to kind of put this thing on.
Right. And the Jersey Devil, the legend of the Jersey Devil, that's based out of like the Cherry Hillish area of New Jersey.
Like the Pine Barren Woods is like, that's like, you know, I don't know if that's in that exact area, because that's a Bobby and Adam question. They're Jersey.
Right.
I know that all the, you know, when we put this thing together, it was like, the Pine Barren Woods is where he prayed and stalked and did
right.
all that. So
right.
one of our mazes is going to put you in the actual like Pine Barren, you know, forest
nice.
Where the Jersey Devil is just going to terrorize people, you know, going through it.
Right. Right.
You know, and we're doing a lot of things that are different to all the other Halloween events, you know, and we're bringing in like a production team that does all the production for Kiss, Motley Crue, you know, Depeche
yeah.
Mode. So we want to have that kind of, you know, production in these mazes to just make it different than what everybody else has going on. And we're kind of selling it as like three different show times throughout the night. So
yeah.
let's say you buy the 7 o'clock ticket, you get to go in maze one, then maze two, and then see the Blood Drum show. And that's kind of like a show for the night, you know? And
yeah.
then at 8 o'clock, there's another show. Instead of just like you buy a ticket and you just going through mazes, you know, and waiting in lines, it's kind of like you get a ticket and you go through the whole thing kind of like an event almost.
Totally.
But yes,
that's going to be so amazing. And you know what I take away from all that you just told me, and it's just, I don't know, I think it's the epitome of all great things on this earth, is how organic that was born, and how mm-hmm. the universe just led you to Bobby and Adam, and how the whole thing was just, you know, it wasn't forced, it was natural. And I just think, like I said, all the greatest things are always born out of natural occurrences, I think, like that, in my opinion. So
oh no, you're totally right. I mean, that's just really is the way that you know, most of the amazing things do kind of happen.
Yeah, they hit you instead of
yeah,
you finding them.
Exactly. And when it hits you, just ride it.
Yeah,
you go with it.
Exactly. It's like I come from growing up surfing, so it's like mm-hmm. I relate all that to, like, you know, it's when that good wave comes, you got to navigate it the best way possible. But that's so awesome, man. So just touching on all the amazing things that you do have going on, the busy year and everything, just as an absolute drum nerd myself and a mm-hmm. drummer myself, tell me about the Shepherd Fairey kit and how that all was born and came to be.
Totally, yeah. I mean, that's like one of the coolest things ever.
Right? Are you kidding me? Shepherd Fairey kit?
We've been collaborating, you know, we've been friends for 13 years and basically started, you know, collaborating together a couple of years ago. I actually did the Leno show with George Harrison from the Beatles' son Danny.
Okay.
Because we had done a movie score together, and we were, you know, when the movie came out, we went on and we played the you know, the main song from the movie. And you know, I was like, oh man, I'm doing, you know, Leno tomorrow, and like, it'd be so sick if you like painted my kit.
Yeah.
And obviously we didn't have time. He's like, I'd love to, but obviously the show's tomorrow. He's like, I'm gonna do a kick drum head for you. And I'm like, oh, you've done those before, right? You know, you've worked with so many bands, artists. He's like, I've never done anything drum, you know, wise for a drummer. I'm like, oh
no
sick.
Way.
So he made me this, he hand painted you know, and stenciled and did all his Shepherd Fairey magic on a kick drum head. And then that turned into literally every kick drum head from then has been, you know, for our our Street Drum Corps Vegas residency we had in 2013 at the Hard Rock.
Right.
He did my kick drum head, and that actually is on display still in the Hard Rock. They took the kick drum with the head that he designed, and it's in a glass, you know, display at the casino, which is amazing. So the goal was to like do a kit, and last summer when I signed on with SGC, you know, they even brought it to my attention. They're like, we know you work with Shepard, and it's been a dream of ours to do a Shepard kit. And I'm like, well, that's something him and I have been talking about. So I go, let's get him on the phone. Let's brainstorm. And, you know, it kind of hit me when, you know, we were on Warp Tour last summer. And, you know, as you know, you're on your tour bus all day long. There's no dressing rooms. It's so hot.
Right.
And we were watching CNN on loop just because of the election and everything that was going on. And, you know, I'm watching all these just terrible things that were going on in the world with shootings and everything. And, you know, I called Shepard. I'm like, listen, man, like, I don't speak out about, you know, you know, politics and just all these horrible things going on. I kind of express them through my art, and I would like this drum set to kind of reflect what I'm feeling and what's going on in the world. And he goes, okay, like, give me a minute. And he comes back to me with this Rise Above piece that he has that is the most beautiful piece. It looks like these flowers, but if you look at it up close, it's all these guns and stuff. And this piece has to do with, you know, all the shootings and gun control and just all this stuff. It's a really powerful piece.
Yeah. I just got the chills when you told me that.
Yeah. It was really powerful. And I said, okay, so I called SJC and I'm like, how, you know, Shepard's going to executive produce this kit with us and we're going to use his art. Like, how do we actually get the art onto the drums? We don't want to do a rap. We need to do this art right. So literally Mike from SJC put everybody on assignment to figure out in the company how to actually do this. And literally they were just like, we can't find, you know, like, yeah, we can actually like print the backdrop, you know, onto these drums, you know, like actually print on the shells. But as far as like etching the main work, like they didn't have the, you know, the machines in house to do that.
Right.
And they literally for a week looked everywhere and they wound up finding a place down the street from their shop. And this guy actually etched the main pieces into each shell of the drum. They basically, the drums are mahogany and the top veneer is maple. So that top veneer got shipped off to a place down the street and they actually etched it. So you can feel all the guns and all the work like in all the pieces.
Wow.
And then the snare drum, we wound up doing all the classic Andre the Giant faces on the snare drum. And
that's, you know, mahogany Shepard, too?
The snare is actually, it's a metal shell with wood glued inside of it. So it's like a hybrid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really cool. Something they hadn't done before. Yeah. And basically Shepard came out, saw the kit live, came up on stage and was just completely blown away by it. And he signed the kit because it's like a piece, you know, the whole thing is a piece.
Yeah.
And when I'm done touring this year, it's actually going to go off to the Hard Rock in Vegas and they're going to display it.
Rad.
Which is really cool. And then, you know, fast forward to, I just did the AP Awards and we started the show. You know, I did a drum performance with Adrian from No Doubt and Josh from 21 Pilots.
Yeah,
and
I saw it. That was epic, by the way.
So fun. We just did this insane drum thing where we were just in the crowd, on our kits, in the front of the stage, all this. And for one of the bits, I had a like a gong tom and a little side like popcorn snare made. And we sent Shepard the raw maple shells. And I said, I want these to look like you were just like bombing the street and tagging the street.
Yeah.
And he killed it. It was the first drums he's actually like hand spray painted and stenciled and painted for me. And he did a snare drum for me that I played on the kit. And then I had these two drums to the front of the stage. And that was like the most gorgeous, I mean, beautiful next level thing he's done. And coincidentally, I was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with my family doing a little tour and everything. And I met the main, you know, curator there. And, you know, she was like, this is really special. You guys are, you know, you made these drums for AP Awards, which is AP's in Cleveland. We're in Cleveland. This performance is in Cleveland. Like, we would be honored to display these. So I finished the performance and they took them from the stage and they took them to the Rock Hall. So they're in the Rock Hall right now.
You're like, hold on, let me pinch myself first. Are you fucking serious?
Kids, one at the Hall of Fame and one's going to Vegas Hard Rock.
That is like, so amazing. Like, what an amazing life. It's so awesome, man. That's just occurrences like that from start to finish. I love hearing it's such an amazing, and again, just an organic, natural occurrence that you just saw that wave and just
totally
got it and just rode the fuck out of it, you know?
I just wanted to do something, you know, different too, like, and drum wise and art wise. And, you know, the beautiful thing about SJC is not only do these drums sound amazing, they just, they know how to do all this insane, you know, things and get things done to pull off, you know, all these art, you know, I mean, their drums are like art pieces. I mean, totally. The stuff that they do for the drummers, you know, is pretty amazing. I'm literally, you know, sitting in my office right now. They just sent me like a little club kit.
Yeah.
So I can have it in my house so I can practice at home and then use it for studio or little DJ gigs, whatever. And it's like this gorgeous kit they just sent me. Cause I played one for the after party, the AP Awards. I DJed and drummed on the little club kit.
Oh yeah. Was that the emo night or was that another?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And sick. Dude, this little kit sounded massive.
Nice.
A little 20-inch kick drum sounded like it was like 30. It was insane how big this kit sounded. I'm like, I gotta have one.
Dude.
And my son can play it now because he's 1.5 and all he does is drums. So I'm like, I need a kit that's like small, but like a pro kit because he's knocks over all the little toy, you know, drums that he's gotten and stuff. So I'm like, okay, he needs like a big boy kit now.
Right.
So he can wail on this thing too. And it's amazing. We walked in the house with the boxes yesterday and I go, the drums are here. He runs in his bedroom and gets his drumsticks and comes in the office. Like he knows already and he's 1.5.
That's so good. What's your son's name again?
Brixton.
Brixton, right. What a little legend. That's amazing. Hey, yeah, I'm thinking about that whole Shepherd Fairey thing. I was just thinking the flip side. Think about how inspired Shepherd Fairey was as an artist to see this different medium he had to work on for the first time as a drum kit. And think about the inspiration that just erupted, probably, I'm guessing, inside of him at that moment.
Oh, totally. I mean, he was calling me going with the raw shells, like, which is the top, which is the bottom?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he had never worked with stuff like this before. And SJC literally had to send him a picture of, like, because it's drilled out for where the badges go and the lug nuts and stuff. And he, you know, And for him, you know, I mean, he's such a, you know, rock star, you know, art guy, you know, but like, for him to be now in the Hard Rock and the Hall of Fame and like to all this stuff, it's like he's so excited about that, which is really cool to get him fired up to just be doing kind of different things as well. And just for his, you know, as much as I want to just look at the drums myself and keep them for myself, like these are such beautiful art pieces.
Oh,
they
yeah.
should be seen by everybody. So it's like I'm so happy to share these, you know, and have them on display at these two iconic, you know, places, which is just such a trip, you know. And like, you know, I wanted to just, it's kind of really cool how you say everything, you know, works out and it's for a reason. Like I wanted to do something epic that would, you know, you hope that it would want to be featured at places like this, but you never know. And it's just like, shit, it's really like kind of happening here.
Yeah,
you know?
It was meant to happen. Totally. I mean, it's, that's the way I live my life, man. It's like, there's, you know, I think in a nutshell, I always tell everyone, you know, if you let the universe be your little buddy, he'll bend over backwards for you, man. Like, it's just, I like to recognize things in life, I think, and kind of navigate through them accordingly. And I don't know, I guess it's that, like you're saying, everything happens for a reason. It all falls under the same umbrella. Back to the street drum corps with the boys. I'm sitting in our studio right now in Redondo Beach, Pepper's studio, and I'm looking at Ace Hardware drum bucket that Remo sent me, the top snare drum head thing that you can click onto the bucket.
Yep.
Did you guys have something to do with that?
No. I mean, it's so funny, you know, it's amazing that that's your thought and everyone's thought that they associate us with that, which like, to me, that's a victory. Like that you look at something and you associate with Street Drum Corps.
Yeah.
That is so the quick backstory on that was it's something that's we're so like proud of is I was at Remo one day visiting and, you know, Remo Belly's in the lab there in the back working on this bucket thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, my A&R rep dude goes, hey, Remo, this is who I've been telling you about. This is Frank, who, you know, is one of the owners of Street Drum Corps. And these guys play on all found stuff and you're working on this bucket kind of drum head thing. And you know, you should have him check it out and whatever. So I checked it out. I gave him, you know, some, you know, insights and, you know, some, you know, whatever, you know, insight on how the whole thing was going.
Uh-huh.
And he literally had us involved in the whole step of it. And we actually were there. We played a private, a NAMM event for all his, you know, distributors and everybody where we debuted him and played them for him. And he literally passed away not too long after that. And like to be part of the last thing this legendary, you know, creator created, and the fact that this thing was made for children to, you know, drumming to be put at places, you know, for, to help kids, disabled kids and all these different amazing causes. It's something we're so proud about. And we literally, like, these buckets are giving children and adults so much joy. Like,
I bet.
I have them out right now with our street drum corps, you know, groups at all the big state fairs.
Yeah.
And our guys use them to go out in the audience and have the kids jam on them. And cause they have these drum heads that fit on top of them and they sound like if I blindfolded you and you put the snares on them,
yeah,
and whatever, you would think it was a great sounding snare drum and it's a plastic bucket with a Remo head and a little snare wire.
Totally.
You know, like
totally.
It's such a genius thing. And, you know, they're bringing so much joy around it. It's just such a cool thing to be part of. And then Latin Percussion just came out with a whole line of trash, like toms that literally look like beer kegs and stuff that people think that, you know, we had something to do with, which we were like, we were the face of that.
Yeah, that's
well.
What it is
and
for
the
sure.
First ones to take it out, you know? So it's like both of these companies we've worked with and literally we're using those now more than, you know, a lot of the stuff we're using because this stuff actually sounds better and it looks just as cool as like, you know, plastic barrels and all these different things that are you know, been our signature things for years.
Right.
So it was really cool to be part of that thing with Remo and just to see the joy that, you know, these things brought him.
Anything
really
that's
cool.
Like, well, first of all, rest in paradise,
yep.
Remo. That was, what a great man and what a great legacy.
For sure.
And still, it's going to continue on forever because, like, I was just going to say, I just, anything that spreads the joy of music, which, of course, what Remo is all about, that spreads the joy of music so easily, like something like this simple drum head that you click onto any bucket you have. I mean, I just fully support and back because the more music out there, the better this world is, in my opinion. And then, hey, it's funny you talk about that NAMM show because that's the NAMM that we ran into each other and you
yep.
told me you were going to be heading out with Sum 41 on Warped Tour and we're going to be hanging out all summer.
Yep, totally. Yeah, I mean, that was last summer.
Yeah, yep, that was last summer and that was the, so that would have been the NAMM before last, I think, ish.
Yeah, because this past NAMM, I was in Europe,
yep.
so I didn't go. So
yep.
literally, I hadn't been on Warped Tour since I was on it with Street Drum Corps with you. So
yeah.
both my full Warped Tours that I've done have been with you. You've been on the tour.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I love it, man. Hey, well,
yeah.
I honestly, you know, touring's the most amazing thing in the world, but at the end of the day, you're away from home. So being able to surround yourself with amazing people just makes it that much better. So I thank you for that, man.
Oh, that was my favorite, you know, after the show, when nighttime comes to just find your awesome tent and just chill with you and have a beer. You know, that was a great, great part of,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and all the stories you told me, which is the next one I want to touch on is I remember we were hanging out after Warped Tour, that last summer and, you know, just talking story and you were telling me about how you got to basically be Tommy Lee for, what was it, a week or?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it was like almost 2 weeks worth of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in, like, I want to say it was seven. Actually, because I'm in my office, I have the 2009. It
nice.
Was in August of 2009. Yeah, it was just, I mean, definitely one of the biggest highlights of just of life growing up, you
yeah.
know, with them as my, you know, my idols and favorite band and first concert I ever saw. And then, you know, fast forward and just being, you know, buds with them. And then, you know, him getting an injury and calling me like in frantic, like you need to fly out and, you know, take over for me until I'm better. And it was insane. Man.
What happened to him? To Tommy?
He just a freak accident with fireworks. And he burned his hand really bad.
Ah.
So he wasn't able to drum until it fully healed.
And you had to play his kit and his everything. Was
oh,
there
yeah.
any weird like adjustment periods for,
no,
for-
because what's great is he sits so freaking low. So I do, you know, with, you know, and he's tall. So me being short and I sit low, literally everything, I didn't have to adjust anything. And it actually, I changed my setup after that because there were some things that he had that felt way more natural to me and stuff that I, so I did change some stuff. Just, you know, it was pretty cool. But I mean, like the biggest kit ever, there was so much shit, so many things to hit up there. But it was like everything you can imagine and then more. You know, it's just those guys do it right. They know how to have fun. They know how to put on a huge rock show and, you know, it's just, and he was out there. He didn't just like bail and I was out there. He was still on the tour.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
I was on his bus with him and, he would come out and MC, you know, he would play piano. He would stand next to me at the end and like, you know, hit some cymbals. And then once he started getting better, I would do the first half of the show, which was like the longer, you know, it was like act one and act two. I'd do act one and then he'd do act two.
Oh,
and then once
gotcha.
He was like doing full shows, I was suited up and just kind of on call just if he, you know, if his hand was bothering him. And then once he was good, you know, this, you know, I was able to go home.
Right, right. What was your favorite song to play, just being such legendary Motley Crue songs played?
I mean, probably like Shout at the Devil and Wild Side. Those two are just like, you know, yeah, definitely.
And then you were doing the roller coaster?
No, that wasn't on that summer tour because it was an amphitheater tour, so you can't put those in
right.
sheds, you know?
You need an arena. Roof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. That's so awesome. So then I want to touch back, actually. You jumped forward to the AP Awards a little bit. I want to first congratulate you on your win for Drummer of the Year. I know. How was it just one of those just surreal moments? You're like, wait, what?
I mean, my whole mind was on the performance because it was, you know, such a big performance with the production and just, you know, just everything about it was just really, you know, that was my focus. And
you really led the charge on that too, from what like I've read and everything where you drove the bus on that one, basically.
I mean, as far as, you know, the nuts and bolts and all that, but like, honestly, once we got in a room, Josh and Adrian, it was one of the coolest collaborations ever. It was 100% equal. Like what everybody brought to the table, like, it was really magical. We sat in Adrian's, you know, little drum room for 3 days with like kick, snare, and hat only. And we were like, okay, how, let's make this musical. Let's not step on each other. Let's break up fills. Let's go down the line and trade bars and solos. Like, let's take this part and let's make it three so it grows. Like, it was so cool the way that we put this whole thing together to make it be musical. The goal was not to make it a Wang Fest, to make it a very musical, theatrical, you know, kind of piece. Like, this wasn't Guitar Center Drum Off. This
right.
was, you know, a concert in a theater, you know? So we wanted to make it really, you know, musical. And like, everybody, the vibe and how we all got, you know, on together and how we played together, it was one of the greatest things ever, you know, and one of the funnest things I've ever done in my life. And then we went into the big soundstage and put it all together with all of our gear. And then, you know, went out to Cleveland, did a full production rehearsal. The team there was amazing. The production, like, so fun. But so we get off stage and then it's like, okay, they're going to do one nomination and then the Drummer of the Year.
Yeah.
That's when it hit me. And I was like, holy shit. Cause like, you know,
that's done,
I wasn't even
finally.
Thinking about it until the, you know, the performance ended. So we were like, we're all just going to say side stage. We're not going to go out to our seats, be in the audience. Like, well, let's just stay right here, side stage. And I had my wife, my son, Adrian, and Josh, we all just stood there. And like, I'm hearing them talk. Like, we're seeing them talk, but we couldn't hear it because we were so far off the stage.
Right.
There was no wedges. So we're just looking at the big, you know, LED screens, you know, seeing what's going on. And then when I'm like, because Sum 41, we hadn't won anything earlier, you know, and I'm like, shit, maybe like, you know, I don't know, maybe these younger, you know, fans, just their fans are just voting like mad. And like, I mean, I'm like, I don't, maybe it's not going to happen. You know, I don't think it's going to happen. And literally when the dude yelled my name, I just, it was insane. Adrian and Josh were screaming.
Yeah.
It was really, it was such a cool celebration. And to have my wife and my son right there with me was really beautiful. It was just such an amazing way to end, you know, such a cool event. And it was just, you know, it was such a special night and event all around. And just, it was just really cool to just do that. And then just to go out and, you know, celebrate at the emo night set, you know, Adrian came with me and we just had fun and played drums and played some tunes, you know. It was such a great whole event.
Yeah. Well, hey man, when you put your heart and your passion into something and work as hard as you do, it's so well deserved and so amazing, but so, you know, not surprising at the same time, you know what I mean? I guess just that well-deserved vibe.
It's just, honestly, the fans vote, and that was the thing that blew me away the most, that, like, you know, our fans represented, you know, and they won it for me by voting, which is amazing. I'm grateful, being the new guy and replacing, you know, a very legendary, you know, big person in Sum 41. It's just beautiful to see how I've been accepted into this family and how, you know, how amazing they've been and supportive. And like, I'm just so grateful for that. It's really cool.
I think we should take this moment in that podcast to thank all the fans of music out there. Cause as we know, you know, none of us would be here without the fans and we all start as fans. So, you know, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. I mean, I still, when you think about, yourself and whatever, like I still just see myself as this little shit from, Long Island, New York, who's just a fan. And like, that's just how I always see myself. And, I'll never forget that. And I think that's just that's just the way to stay grounded.
Totally.
You know, it's just where you come from and all that.
100%. That's why I've prided myself so hard on in the last month. I've seen Tool, UB40, Iron Maiden, and Metallica.
I didn't know you were there. I was there too the other night. That
oh, Metallica?
Amazing. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was. I talk about like, are you? I've saw them. My mom first took me to see them on the Justice for All tour at the Blaisdell Arena in '89, and that was so. I mean, you talk about that's the kid. I think that you're talking about that. I always relate myself back to like being like 12, being like 12 or 11 and being watching the head fall off the Injustice for All statue on tour on the stage and whatnot. But yeah,
they have some of those set pieces at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The whatchamacallit, the two like pedestal-y things that are hanging from her hand.
Oh yeah. The scales.
Yeah. They have those at the Hall of Fame, on display.
Well, so I will see you soon, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, dude, so rad.
So back to, because, man, you got so much going on, Frank, and it's so amazing, and in totally different worlds, too. I want to, the Cruella gig. Am I saying that right, too? Cruella?
Yeah, Cruella, yeah.
Cruella.
They're just this amazing
DJs,
sisters.
Right?
Yeah, DJ, singers, artists. And I've been, playing with them for like 2 years now. And that's so fucking fun, man. Just going out and doing these massive, raves and EDM shows all over the world. Just the amount of people and production and just, it's all about the drums.
That's what I was just going to say. The whole EDM scene is built off, I mean, like music is in general, but heavily, heavily, it's the beat, it's the drums.
Oh, yeah. So it's like to just be driving that beat and seeing hundreds of thousands of people just going fucking mental. Uh-huh. And everyone is so happy, whether they're on drugs or just the music makes them feel that way. It's such a powerful feeling that literally you cry, you cry when you're playing. Cause it's just so beautiful to see that and feel that power, man. It's like no drug or nothing can ever fuck with that. It's just like basically, as cheesy as it sounds, it's like you're up there playing fucking God. You're driving that beat that, these people are just going, mental to. And it's so amazing. And, my schedule's really been, I've been so lucky that I've literally just flown from one tour to the next tour, one off to one off. I haven't played with them since January because they've just been in the studio and doing DJ only shows. And I don't think we have anything else for the rest of this year, but hopefully next year we'll pick it, back up again. But it's like, it's just good for your head too, to just go, between different projects. They're so diverse, from Cruella to Sum 41 to Street Drum Corps. But at the end of the day, people always ask like, oh, do you have to change your style or whatever? And it's like, no, I just do what I do, and that's why they like it. Like Cruella came in, they're like, just do what you do. We don't want you to tame it down and be like disco drummer guy. Like, just, we want your big rock, thing on this. And I take that same energy to Sum and to, to Street Drum Corps. Just who I am, right. It's not like I'm in a jazz band, or something like that. It's kind of just it works to, what I do, which is pretty cool. But it's been so fun, and the girls they're so amazing and sweet. They've been so fun to tour with. Like last fall, we did a Sweatbox tour, which basically was like a club tour, like the Roxy's and shit like that, which they've never done anything like that in their career. They just blew up out of the gate and were playing, the Palladium and huge festivals and all that. So they wanted to do that. And I hadn't played, those kind of venues in a long time. And me and the guitar player were like, holy shit, we're playing like these little shithole bars. And, of course, they're bringing in all this lighting and sound that, like, half the shows, we couldn't even use that shit because the venues couldn't handle the power. you know, and shit. But it was like the most punk rock insane thing. Like, I've never seen a dance show in those kind of venues, and just kids going mental like a rave in a little, you know, shithole bar. It was pretty, pretty insane. And we were just literally like flying every weekend. Like, that was a tour, and literally it was just every Friday, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we would just fly to each show and then go home for a couple of days. Like, that's touring, you know, in the EDM world. So different right. than our bands. And
totally.
Just, like, getting in a bus and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, it's just so different.
It's funny though, that same feeling I think you're talking about when you're up there and you're seeing all these like hundreds, thousands of people jumping mm-hmm. up and down in unison and just the energy, it's so powerful. It reminds me of that experience you had up in, if it was Chico, near the Madonna Inn with everyone, and everyone in the bar just jumping at the same time and playing the mm-hmm. the found drums instruments at the same time. And like, you know what I mean? Like, so different, but music can like almost encapsulate such different things into the same realm.
Oh, totally.
It's amazing, you know?
It really is. And it's like, it just all comes back to, you know, this primal, you know, drums, man. It's just,
it's primal.
Just,
I mean, it's like, goes back to caveman days, right? Like, it's like, let's pound on something. Then someone, there's a rhythm here and whatnot, but yeah.
Totally. Well, our heartbeats, I mean, everything, man.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, you know, kids know how to dance and react to music and stuff before they can even speak.
Right. Totally.
You know, it's just, it's pretty beautiful to see, you know, and just to be part of that, you know, it's like, it's just, we were all, you know, you and I were born with it, and it's like, it's all we know. And it's just amazing seeing, you know, I didn't get into music until I was 3, which is hella early, you know, but my kid is literally straight out the womb. I mean, we took him to Motley Crue, Cruella shows. I mean, when my wife was like, you know, a weeks away from having him, you know, we just had him around the music, and he was part of all that. And I mean, I did not, you know, I didn't force any of that. I didn't put drumsticks in his hand. I didn't do any of that. And just literally, he just gravitated from, you know, coming on the road with me and being at sound checks and being at the show. And he's just, you know, he's got it. And like, it's really coming out now more than ever. Like, his face and his expressions, like, you see the passion already, and it's like the most inspiring thing to see ever. That's why I'm like, okay, we need to get a proper kit in this house,
right?
You know,
and him noticing it, like you said, him noted like the boxes, seeing the boxes and being knowing exactly what that is, like, that's the, because he came out straight out the womb, and it's an instinctual thing you're putting in him. I love it.
Totally. And you know what? I mean, who knows? This could be a thing, you know, for now. And then he winds up being a doctor. I mean, who knows? And it's like, totally. I would never be, bummed out if he wasn't a drummer. Like, it's just like, as long as he's passionate about what he wants to do, it's like, that's all that matters, man. It's like, you know, there's just too many people that do what they got to do to do what they got to do and just aren't passionate about it and just go through the motions, and you're kind of like a robot. And it's like, you know, just that's not the way to live life, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I couldn't agree more. On that, kind of the opposite note of that, it's been kind of a rough year, you know, for a lot of legendary musicians. And I know you had a pretty close relationship with Chester, right?
Oh yeah, like too many. I mean, too many. I mean, I feel like it's like kind of like our parents' era. Like, my parents were around when Bonham and Janis Joplin and Hendrix and, like,
yeah,
you know,
good,
just all
good
these
point.
Legends. I mean, like, you know, we've lived, you know, now through Michael Jackson, through David Bowie. I mean, it's just so many legends, but we've lost too many young legends, you know, recently. I mean, I had, you know, relationships and I performed with, you know, Scott Weiland, Chris Cornell, and Chester. You know, it's like, those are three of the, you know, right there, all-time legends.
Oh, God.
And,
are you kidding
you
me?
You know,
yeah.
I mean, Chris Cornell and Scott Weiland, you know, I had like musical working professional relationship with Chester. We were actually really good friends for 13 years.
Right.
You know, and
you
mean,
did like
just,
the Project Revolution tour with him.
With Street Drum Corps, that was him, because he loved Street Drum Corps. He brought us on that. And, you know, last month he had Street 741 open for Linkin Park in Amsterdam.
Right.
And then we played in Italy with them. And I mean, I was just with him and had the most amazing, you know, day and show and hang. And it just was, you know, I never would have, ever saw this one coming. And it's just really, it's really sad. And I feel so, you know, so much for his kids and his family. And, you know, they had a beautiful send off, you know, last weekend for him, which was really amazing to be part of. And just to see the love, you know, and hear everyone's stories and all that, and everyone to come together. And, you know, but yeah, it's just that definitely, that one hurt, man. You know, it's just,
Sorry for your loss, brother. 100%.
Thanks, man.
That's I know. That's I think that's why I brought up that one specifically, because I knew that I think you had a pretty pretty tight relationship with him, and yeah, I mean, it's so sad. The whole suicide thing is just, it's such a rough one, and you know, I mean, I guess the best thing is you just go talk to your friends, talk to people. In this world of I think we're so stuck on our phones and so much media and whatnot, just human interaction. Don't underrate the value of real human face-to-face interaction, you know?
Totally. And it's like, yeah, like the, what you said, I mean, yeah, we all have to, you know, it's such a social media, you know, world down. It's kind of a key thing to our careers. And I mean, it's how you literally find out what the hell's going on about anything these days. But like, you know, it's the negative side of it. I feel like the comment thing is like the worst thing ever, because there's just so much negativity that people waste their, you know, I've never said a negative thing in my life about any of it. 'Cause you know what? Who the fuck cares? It's just your opinion. And you know, like, especially on these, you know, our drumming sponsors, you know, pages and stuff, they'll put up, you know, all these amazing drummers. And like, you know what? Anyone that's drumming and making a career of it and out there, you know, doing it, all the power to you, man. You may 100%. Not be a fan of their band or their specific style, but you know what? Fucking hats off to any working drummer who's out there doing it, man.
100%.
You know, and like Zildjian and all of our companies, you know, they take care of it. You know, they promote their artists and they're grateful. And then you'll like read these parade of fucking comments. and it's just so the nasty that people can, you know, say stuff like that. But I feel like these are the same people that if they saw you in the street, they'd want your autograph and a picture, and they would never say 100%. That.
100%. It just gives, that's the, like you said, the downside of social media. It gives people such an easy avenue to be negative. Like, and I can spew negativity on the world and so easily, and make myself feel better at the cost of the universe. And it's so easy because I just type it in and there's really no repercussions, you know, and that's an ugly thing, man.
It's everyone's like, you know, beer muscles almost, you know, like behind the keyboard. And it's like, you know, of course there's tons of positivity and all that, of course, too, you know, but like, I've just stopped. I'm like, I'm not even going to waste my time and energy on, you know, reading comments. Just like, let's just watch the videos, let's look at the pictures, and let's just leave the rest to imagination, you know?
Well, like funny little story you're talking, because I'm the most lighthearted person in the world, and I don't really take things like to heart. I kind of just like, you know, keep to my path. And but Zildjian like a month or two ago posted me on playing like a groove from one of the Pepper songs, I think, Start You Up, from our last record on their new Beat Tuesday. And I'm just a pocket drummer, man, you know what I mean? Totally. I just hold down the groove and hold down the pocket and try to think about the greater good. And I just got annihilated on the comments. It was so funny, but I like graciously answered all of them, you know what I mean? Because that's my whole thing is like, on a serious note, I taking something like that in the positives, I'm like, this is an amazing way to reach fans and to turn fans onto my band. Totally. So I you know, I just like, hey man, like to teach his own, I respect your opinion. But so I always think there is ways to try and turn those negative people to in the more lighthearted situations like that, you know?
Oh, I've seen that tons too, when, you know, the actual artist will, you know, make a nice comment back and I'm like, oh, I didn't mean that, man. You know, you know, it's all good. It's like all of a sudden everybody, you know, pipes down because they're like, holy shit, you know, the artist has actually hit me back. But yeah, it's like, that's what I love about, you know, your drumming as well. Like, dude, that's what it's all about, especially for the kind of music you play. It's all about making those people, man, sway, and the pocket and the feel. Like, you have to, you know, just be a great, you know, knowing that you're playing for the music and the song,
right?
You know, that's what it's all about, you know, like, that's the most important thing. And that's, I've come from that world too. Like, I respect, of course, the Neil Peart and all that kind of drumming, but we don't play in bands like that, and it's not necessary, and we don't need to throw the, you know, the whole kitchen sink in because it's just not necessary. And my whole thing is, I just like you, I think about the audience and the vibe and the crowd and the, all that. I don't want to just like, you know, you easily could lose a crowd.
Easily.
If they don't know where the one is or whatever, and like, that's cool for math rock bands and fans of that. But the kind of music we do, it's like, I just grew up in all the pocket, you know, drummers. I mean, all the James Brown and all that stuff where, I mean, there's not even fills, you know, it's like, that's just, you know, guys like Questlove who could just get it done with kick, snare, and hat and just make it feel so good. It's like, that's what it's all about to me.
Yeah, totally. It's like the equivalent of, you know, a good song. If you can play it on acoustic guitar and just sing and play it on acoustic guitar, you know, it's a good song. You know, it's like stripping it down to the hi-hat, the snare, and the kick. It's kind of an analogy for that.
Totally.
Just relating it to like the bigger picture of music, I guess. But, you know, it's funny you talk about getting off Instagram. Are you familiar with the guy? I've talked to him about him on the first episode, but he's like a internet, got famous on Instagram drumming, Stan Bicknell, an Australian drummer.
I don't think so.
He's just a ripping, just super hard, but he like quickly got 120,000 followers. Just his Instagram just blew up and he just disappeared. He put up a post like a week ago, like same kind of thing. Like it's getting in the way of my creative drumming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got my priorities straight. I'm going to put this aside. So yeah, different people's, much huge respect for that and just different people's outlooks on it, I guess. But a little bit, just couple other things that I don't want to keep you up forever, Frank, because, you know, time is precious here. But the little off drumming, the Ghost Circus, like, is the clothing that you got going on that you've got your line with. What's that all about?
Yeah. Yeah, it's my buddy Eli James who started this company a couple of years ago. And I just, you know, I took notice right away and I was like, this stuff is rad. Like, what, you know, you're doing some really cool stuff, you know, and I'd love to check it out. And basically, he's a drummer and basically designed design clothing to, you know, look cool as fuck, but to be so comfortable to drum in.
That's okay. I was thinking
drummers.
That. Yeah.
Which is amazing. And I started rocking his stuff and like, I've never got that much notice on my clothes before by people, you know, asking me from fans to artists, to friends, like, what is this shit? You know, like whatever. And literally Cruella started rocking his stuff. And he started designing for them. And then he does some of the guys in Sum 41. And literally he just did Josh and Adrian for the AP Awards. He did all of us, sick, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And he's killing it. And he's such a good dude. And basically, you know, when we were out on Warped Tour last summer, so many, you know, kids are just like, your stuff's so rad. Like, how do I get it? And I'm like, well, it's all custom made, you know, stuff. Yeah. Like he has literally rolls of fabric. He goes downtown, gets them, and when that roll runs out, that's it, you know.
Right.
And it's not like he's taking blank shirts, you know, from American Apparel and just cutting them up. Like, he just, everything is handmade. So I was like, dude, like, all these kids want this stuff, they're asking for it, like, why don't we just do my normal, you know, stage shirt and my regular t-shirt, and let's put them out there so the kids can have them. And again, they're custom orders, so it's not like we have to have all this inventory.
Yeah,
they're custom,
exactly.
You know, custom made, no two are alike because the cuts are different and all that. And we just did it, you know, it's just a fun thing because so many people were asking, you know, and it was another cool creative, you know, little outlet to work on the fashion tip. And then he made my son one as a gift, you know, when he was born, he made him a onesie and then he made him a shirt, and like, everyone was going nuts over those. So I'm like, dude, we got to put these out for, like, you know, for the cool rock and roll parents to get, you know, cool black, you know, beat up shirts and all this kind of stuff for the kids. So we had those come out.
Yeah.
And it's a fun thing. That's just, it's out there. And, you know, and yeah, I've been just wearing his stuff from top to bottom for, you know, for a couple of years now. And it's awesome stuff, man. Like, he's so good. I mean, he literally could do from suits to, you know, rock and roll stuff. But just, he's just got such a cool style and vibe and just such a great dude as well.
Hey, I love it. Cause I keep coming back to this thing again, man. Again, organic, natural. You know what I mean? Like I just love that whole story about, you know, I was wearing it and people just start digging and asking about it. So we're like, I guess we need to get some of these people this stuff. It, man, I love it. It's, I just, I love, I love the waves you're riding, man. It's just so up my alley, and I back it. And it's mainly inspirational. It inspires the shit out of me, and I appreciate it, man. It's so rad,
dude.
So.
Speaking of riding waves, like we're about to go out again. Like next week, we do Canada. And
that's what I was just gonna
Asia.
Say. Yeah. What's next? You're saying so with Sum 41, you're gonna do Canada and Asia.
Yeah, we got a Canadian festival next week, and then we go off and do a full Asia tour for like 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
And then I think we're going to have some downtime, and then I'll jump into, Street Drum Corps, our Halloween show and our Halloween event mode, and I'll be flying out to deal with that stuff. But, you know, I should be home, and not too far from where you guys are.
Yeah.
My really dear friend's got an amazing paddleboarding spot. That's so dope. Just the place and then their boards and to go out in the harbor and all that kind of stuff. I haven't done it in so long. I miss it. And, you know, it's close to your hood. So we got to come out and do that before the summer's over. Or, I mean, obviously, you know, it's hot until October where we live, but, we got to go hit that. Cause I'm definitely want to do that.
Dude, give me the call. I'm down. I got to get my girlfriend's been wanting to do the old stand up paddleboard. She's originally from Portland, so she's never done it yet either. So
it's so fun and peaceful. Like
I know.
That's my new favorite thing now. When we were just in Europe, on the summer, you know, festival run, any hotel that we stayed at that was on the water, like I went out in Lake Geneva on one. And that was
amazing.
So beautiful. That's my thing. I love just this. I don't want to go out into the waves and get crazy. I just want to just chill. You know, and it's a great workout too, and it's just so beautiful to go out. Like, you know, I didn't do it in Hawaii because I didn't even, you know, I had never done it before, and I don't think it really caught my eye. And then now that I'm doing it, I'm like, oh shit, that's the place to go do it next time I go, for sure.
Nice, that's so awesome. Well, I think this is a good place to end it, man. I want to thank you so much, Frank, for being on here and such short notice too. I hit you up like the week before you left for AP tours. Worries, you're like, I got so much stuff going on, but when I get back, well, let's do it. And hey, man, thank you for pulling it together.
No, it's good to connect. It's also just good to be home and enjoying family and just catching up on life and just having a little pause. And then, you know, back out to the. I mean, we've been out literally I want to say nonstop, probably since like Warped Tour, since last summer. I mean, and then before that, we were doing a lot of just like one-offs and shorter runs.
Yeah.
But it's been fun. I mean, we did 9 weeks this winter straight in Europe.
Yeah, totally. Well, I've been kind of keeping track, not just with you, but one of our guitar techs, Cousin Eric, that works with us sometimes, was on tour with you guys. So, guys have been at it hard.
He's,
so
he's been out with us a lot. He's that dude.
Yeah, he's so awesome. But and then also last thing, where can people look up any info about Street Drum Corps and then, you know, the Blood Drums, just Sum 41, so anything?
Everything's just there's every single social media and websites, but the new event is scaredinjersey.com. That'll link you to everything you need. You can see the video trailer teaser for the event. And then, streetdrumcore.com, blooddrums.com, sum41.com. All my shit's just Frank Zumo, all the socials.
Nice.
But yeah, it's all easy enough to find, but yeah, definitely. You know, check it. There's definitely a lot to check out.
Yeah, I love it, man. Scared in Jersey, based on the Jersey Devil. It's so awesome.
That's gonna be some really fun.
Yeah, for sure, man. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your day and the week. And like I said, thank you for being on Disposable Heroes once again, Frank.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, thanks everybody.
And we'll see you next week. All right.